there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. Today is Friday, January 9, 2015, and we are broadcasting from beautiful, sunny, and windy Boquete, Panama, up in the mountains. It's a beautiful day. It's windy, but it is a beautiful, warm, sunny day. A lot of wind, but a gorgeous day. And we're gathered here in the offices and studio of Dr. Daniel Daves. Hello, Dr. Daves.
Welcome to Boquete.
Yes. Beautiful day.
Yes.
A beautiful day. We had an awesome meeting last night. I was blown away. Honestly, I was not expecting it. I truly thought four, five, six people were in Panama. We're in a small mountain village called Boquete. This is not Panama City. We're in Central America. Okay, I know there's some people here listening to True News. I honestly expected four, five, maybe six people. The house was packed.
Wasn't that wonderful?
It was full. It was, and I'm, you know, somewhere about 50 people.
Yeah.
In the meeting room of the restaurant here in Boquete. And I was just amazed when I walked in the door that there's that many devoted listeners of True News living in this little mountain village in Panama. Folks, you got to come on down. Come on down and move to Boquete. You got friends here. You got family here. You wouldn't be alone, right? They're not going to be alone if they come here.
That's true. There's a great community openness here that I remember having as a child back in a small town in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
And that's here now. And typically in Panama, we lived in Costa Rica also. We find a lot of things down here in Central America are about 30 years behind. So if you're really looking for the good old days and the good old days of community, like-mindedness, mm-hmm. fellowship, where brothers and sisters in the Lord have a like
and
vision.
And tight-knit families.
Yeah, it's all here.
The Latino culture really honors family.
Yes.
That's something you notice very quickly here. But folks, there's a lot of Americans, and not only Americans, there are a lot of True News listeners mm-hmm. among those Americans living here in Boquete. I had no idea. I really am stunned. I mean, we were amazed in Cuenca, Ecuador, of all the True News listeners who showed up. But this was even more amazing here in Boquete. And so I'm realizing the Lord really has spread out across nations, the True News audience. And I really am humbled by it. I'm realizing the impact we're having on so many people. And they all have a similar story of how the Lord told them, get up and go. And they did it by faith. And they don't regret it. They're glad. They're glad that they're here. So I was really had a great time last night. I wish we could have had everybody come into your studio here and tell their story of how the Lord got them here.
Well, and then we had a very quiet, really not a publicly announced meeting of business entrepreneurs who are all on the same page.
This morning.
All believers this morning at a little breakfast in a little hotel, and 21 men showed up. For this meeting to meet with you and hear from you.
That was another surprise. You guys said, we're going to go to breakfast this morning. A couple of businessmen want to meet you. We got there, and again, it was a full house. And so here's all these Christian businessmen from America who moved to Boquete, and they're gathering for breakfast. You know, it's awesome. I said when we left last night, I said, this is a congregation. We got a church plant here. This is amazing what's happening hear from the fruit of the True News ministry. That many people are right here. So awesome. Okay. Yeah. Stephen is here. Hello, Stephen.
Hello. Great to be back.
You've been a wonderful host. Thank you for all that you and your wife have done for us. We'll be here till tomorrow and then going back to Florida on Sunday. Stephen, good to see you again.
Great. Great to have you here.
All right. Eric Enns is here. Eric?
Thanks, Rick. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, glad to have you back here in the studio. And we've got a new partner here today, and he is Mr. David Williams. Am I saying it right?
You're saying it correctly.
Thank you. All right, David. David, where are you from?
From the United States, most recently from Kalispell, Montana.
Okay. And we'll get into a discussion of how the Lord got you here also. But you and your wife and your children are here. You've been here fairly short time, right?
We're blessed to be here. We've been here for a little over 7 weeks.
7 weeks.
Yes.
You like it?
We do like it. We like it very much.
Yeah. It's different.
It's not the United States, that's for sure.
That's right. But it's a pleasant place to be. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Glad to have all you guys here. And we're just going to be doing a discussion like we did yesterday. And like I said, I'll be back in the studio on Monday and get back into the regular grind. Although I wish I could do this every day. This would take a lot of work off my shoulders if I had a team of people like this every day to do a program, because I don't have to prep for it.
Right.
You don't have to prep. You know, when you're interviewing experts on fields, you know, you got to do a lot of preparation. And it takes many hours, and the newscast and all that, it really eats up my whole day. But when we do a program like this, it's just brothers sitting together talking about Jesus Christ. And it's so easy to do a program like this. Well, listen, what I feel in my heart today is I believe the Lord is desiring the men gathered here today to share with our radio audience various spiritual messages that the Holy Spirit has given to them or their family members about things that are coming to the United States. Now, we have a lot of new radio station affiliates that have just joined us in the past week or two. I'm going to give my testimony very quickly, very condensed version for you. I have to repeat it. Our longtime listeners already know this. Just bear with me, but we've got tens of thousands of new listeners, hundreds of thousands of new listeners. We had 15 radio stations join us last week. This is the first full week, I guess. First full week for 15 more radio stations that joined us. So brand new audience listening to us for the first time. In the 1990s, I was the director of marketing for TBN. I worked for Dr. Paul Crouch. Life was good for me. I loved what I was doing. I was negotiating contracts with big cable system owners, DirecTV, Dish Network, all that kind of, that's what I was doing. I was director of marketing. I was expanding TBN. And everything was just going fine. I was in my 40s. Things could not have been better for me. I was living in Dallas-Fort Worth and just thoroughly enjoying the work that I was doing at TBN with Paul Crouch. And one day, the Lord rocked my world. It was about the third week of April 1998. Holy Spirit told me to go to the chapel in TBN. This is in Irving, Texas. I walked down to the chapel. It was empty. Nobody was in there. I walked in, and all of a sudden, it was like every sin, every grievance that the Lord had with me. And I was saved, folks. I was saved. I was a Christian. I had been a Christian a long time. But the Lord showed me things in my life that had creeped in. And the weeds that had come into my life, and he was not pleased with it. And he was calling me back to a pure state of holiness that he was showing me. You've lost that position that you had in your life for a long, long time. And so I was just shocked. I was weeping and crying and just a tremendous remorse in my soul, because I realized my father was upset with me. And so I repented and wept and cried, and he wiped my tears away and told me he forgave me and was restoring me and everything. And then all of a sudden, a vision appeared. And it was like a movie screen in front of my eyes. It was like it dropped down from the ceiling. I actually could see a movie screen. And I stood there, eyes open, wide awake. I wasn't in a trance. I wasn't floating around. I saw this in front of me. And it was America on fire. And I saw cities burning. I saw buildings on fire. I saw smoking ruins. And then I saw thousands of refugees coming out of those cities. And they were charred and dirty. And they were in a state of shock. Like they couldn't believe they survived whatever had happened. I never saw what happened. I just saw the aftermath of the burning cities and the refugees. And I said, God, what am I seeing? And he said, this is your nation's future. If America does not repent. And I cried out and I said, Lord, you know what I'm going to say. I'm going to ask you for a scripture that verifies that what I'm seeing is from you. And I opened up my Bible and I was looking at Isaiah 24. Behold, the Lord will empty the earth and make it desolate, and he will twist its surface and scatter its inhabitants. He's going to twist the surface of the planet and scatter the people living on the planet. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the slave, so with the master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the creditor, so with the debtor. The earth shall be utterly empty and utterly plundered, for the Lord has spoken his word. The earth mourns and withers, the world languishes and withers, the people of the earth languish, the earth lies defiled under its inhabitants, for they have transgressed the laws and violated the statutes and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse devours the earth, and its inhabitants suffer for their guilt. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are scorched, and few men are left. The wine mourns, the vine languishes, all the merry-hearted sighing has ended, the mirth of the tambourines is stilled, the noise of the jubilant has ceased, the mirth of the lyre is stilled. No more shall they drink wine and sing. Strong drink is bitter to those who drink it. The wasted city is broken down, every house is shut up so that none can enter. There is an outcry in the streets for lack of wine. All joy has grown dark. The gladness of the earth is banished. Desolation is left in the city. The gates are battered in the ruins, for thus it shall be in the midst of the earth among the nations, as when an olive tree is beaten, as at the gleaning when the grape harvest is done. That's the scripture God gave me to confirm the vision that I was seeing. And I said, why are you showing this to me? And he said, because I'm calling you today to tell your nation to repent. And I reminded the Lord that he had just chastised me for my own sins. And he said, I said, Lord, I'm not holy. I can't do this work. And he said, I did not call you to this work because you're holy. I called you because you're a good repenter. When I convict you of your sins, you are quick to repent. Go and tell the people of America to repent of their sins, and I will forgive them, and I will relent of the just judgment I plan to bring to them. And so I didn't tell anybody about it. I didn't even tell my family about it. I was so stunned by the vision, I was speechless. But the very next morning, my daughter, Carissa, who was 22 years old at the time, spoke to me in the morning and said, Dad, Jesus stood at my bed last night as I slept. I didn't physically see him, but I was aware he was standing at my bed speaking to me. And he said, Daughter, beginning tonight, I will speak to you in dreams and visions about the last days. And he gave me a dream, and Dad, you and Mom and Jeremy, my son, and she said to myself, the four of us were standing together, we were huddled together, and thousands of people were around us, and they were rotating around us like on a giant carousel, but all the people were skeletons, and I could see the sockets in their skulls, and they had long bony arms, and they were holding out their arms and pointing their bony fingers at you, and they were crying in this loud voice, if you knew this was going to happen, why didn't you tell us And my daughter looked at me and she said, Dad, I don't know what God is telling you to do, but you better do it. And so I told her about the vision. And right there, that morning, in April 1998, I made a vow to God that I would speak the warning, even though I didn't even fully understand the warning. I just knew I had been commissioned by God to speak the warning. I went and I told Paul Crouch. I sat down with Dr. Crouch face to face. I told him in private what the Lord had done. He listened to me. And then over May, June, July, August of 1998, the Lord revealed the vision to me. I didn't have another vision, but he gave me revelation of the vision. And I wrote down the things he was telling me. I heard, again, this was 1998. I heard Osama bin Laden. I heard Islamic terrorism, nuclear suitcase bombs, biological warfare, poison food supply. The Lord told me the pantries and cupboards will be full of food, but nobody dares to eat it because it has been poisoned. He told me that there would be, he told me about an EMP. I didn't know what electromagnetic pulse attack was. He told me the lights would go out, the entire infrastructure would go down. He told me about cyber warfare. Who was talking about cyber warfare in 1998? I didn't even, you know, barely know how to use a computer in 98, you know? These were words I was hearing. And then derivative. He said the financial system will crash because of something called derivatives. And so I had all this stuff, and the Lord just put this in my heart. I went to Paul Crouch several more times trying to get him to understand it. I thought he'd go on television and tell everybody, and everybody would repent, and revival would break out, and I could just go back to being Rick. And it didn't work out that way, because by the end of August, the Lord said, you have to resign. Come and follow me. So I went to Paul Crouch, and I said, Dr. Crouch, I have to follow the Lord. He's told me to preach this message, and I have to resign. So I turned in my resignation. I walked out the door. I stood out in the parking lot looking back at TBN's big, gigantic building there in Irving, Texas, and now I'm unemployed. And I never looked back after that. And everything else is history. A year later, the Lord put us on the radio in Dallas-Fort Worth, and then the ministry just started to grow. And here we are now in 2015. We're still declaring the message. I haven't changed one word. I'm still declaring the same message. But here's the point I'm trying to get across to you people today. We are dangerously close to the fulfillment of this warning. We're dangerously close. We are on the edge of a collapse of our society, of military martial law, of the collapse of our financial system, and the worst thing, a surprise nuclear attack by Russia and China. And it will be preceded by, now listen to me, it will be preceded by an attack by North Korea. I believe one city will be taken out by North Korea. That will be the beginning of the end. When it happens, a lot of people are going to rally together and say, we're going to save the country. We're not going to give in to this. But I'm telling you, it's the beginning of the end. And when that one city is taken out, I assure you, if you do not get out of the United States at that point, you're going to be a crispy critter, because the big attack is coming. And if you survive the attack, the alternative, if you survive, is slavery. You're going to go into slavery. You're going to become slaves to foreign invaders. That, my friend, is what the Lord told me to tell you. You can get upset with me. You can reject it. You can get mad at me. It doesn't matter. I have fulfilled what God told me to tell you, according to Ezekiel. For what a watchman must say, that therefore there's no blood on my hands. There is no blood on my hands now, because I've told you what's coming. It's coming because America has forsaken God, has turned against the Lord, and has become rebellious, pagan, idolatrous, stubborn, rebellious, and and defiled with every wicked sin and foul spirit that they've invited into the nation. They've kicked God out and they've invited the devil in. And I'm telling you, Judgment Day is coming soon. This is not the end of the world. It is the end of America as you know it. And I'm sitting with a group of men who also heard from the Lord in various ways, and they said, we believe we're out of here. Dr. Daniel Daves, you were a businessman and a minister in Dallas-Fort Worth. God told you several years ago what's coming.
Yes. 2008, I had pastored for 20 years. I had moved to Dallas as an international airport point and was traveling, doing missions work, just enjoying my calling and enjoying life. And suddenly I had two dreams from God, which changed my world, changed my worldview, changed everything I'd ever thought or believed. What the two dreams that I had were so dramatic and so foreign to the way I have always thought that it took me 6 months of daily study, praying, trying to figure out what it was I saw and what it was I heard to make it relevant to my world. So my world had to change to understand what the Lord had shown me. And it changed everything. It changed everything about my future because these two dreams, I call them HSI, or Holy Spirit intelligence, which we have Holy Spirit intelligence given to us as part of the giftings of the kingdom of God. He will show us the future if we're willing to receive it.
And tell us briefly what those dreams were.
Dream number one was a three-part dream. And in this dream, I was standing in the area of Dallas, Texas, over by the Kennedy area where President Kennedy was assassinated.
Dealey Plaza.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was standing over there with a good friend of mine, and our two sons were off to the side playing ball over by the sidewalk and a road. There were thousands of cars and people all parked. It looked like we were going to have a festival of some kind, and everyone was standing around just looking at one another and talking quietly like they were waiting for an announcement. Up on all of the big buildings were huge television screens on these buildings, and they were black, and we were just waiting. And suddenly, the TV screens lit up, and a government official stood up on those screens and began to speak to the people. And what he said was this: "Ladies and gentlemen, I have an announcement to make." Then he proceeded with a three-part announcement. "America, as you've known it, has ceased to exist. All property lines have been dissolved, and the U.S. dollar is worthless." So when he spoke that, the people in panic and fear started running for their cars. They started running on the streets, and they were all figuratively heading west. They were running west for their lives in response. And it was a running that wasn't necessarily a godly response. It was a fearful response. As they ran west, one man jumped in his car and took off, and I looked over and I saw this guy was about to hit my son and my buddy's son, who played on the same ball team together at the time, and I ran over and grabbed him by the neck, you know, the back of the shirt, and I yanked him out of the way as this guy sped by in order to preserve them. If I hadn't have jumped in and done something, he would have killed what I believe to be the next generation in his fearful response. He was making rash decisions that was going to affect the next generation. So that was scene number one of the dream, which you called me a couple of years ago and said, "Daniel, did you see the movie trailer of the Hollywood motion picture, which actually verbatim showed scene one of my dream, which was Atlas Shrugged 2. You can
right.
see that movie trailer on YouTube. And if you want to know what I saw with the movie screens on the city buildings with the people looking up and listening to them, Atlas Shrugged Part 2, when the president stands up and issues new initiatives of control over the country.
Yes. So either the producers of that movie, the director and the writers, either they heard – you described the vision, and they said, "That's a cool idea. We're going to put this in the movie." Or God allowed that to be in the movie as a supernatural sign that your dream was real.
Yes, that's right. And I was so intrigued, and of course the hair on the back of my neck stood up when I saw that, saw what I had seen before. I saw it again on my computer. I tried to contact them repeatedly, and I never got any response. So I don't know which it was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a little guy, formerly from Dallas, Texas. So it's hard for me to think that they ran across my vision that I've told a few people about.
It gave me the creeps when I saw it.
Yeah.
Weirded me out. I was like, wow, that's it right there.
There were three very powerful statements made that really require research. I mean, what does this mean to you? What's the interpretation of that? And it's not a good interpretation when you look at the head, a government official, speaking these three things. You're talking about totalitarian communist control, dissolving property lines and taking property of all types.
So eliminating all private property.
That's it. And not only private property, but all property lines, which could be a constitutional line of demarcation that says this is who I am and this is who you are. Well, if all lines are dissolved, we're all just one community now, and no one owns anything. Any rights.
And if it is based on property, physical property lines, it means going back to the 1600s.
Yes.
And eliminating, erasing all of the deeds, all of the boundaries, everything that has been in the transaction of real estate in this country since the 1600s. So it means they are erasing 400 plus years of American history. So all property lines are abolished. America, as you have known it, has ceased to exist. So the republic is dead. And then the dollar is worthless.
Yes. And those are the three things the government official spoke. Now, we have not heard any government official stand up on a big screen yet and proclaim that. But ever since that was spoken to me, I have seen a government who responds and acts exactly as if they believe that. So I believe that the Holy Spirit Intelligence Agency gave me a peek behind the curtain to show me what they're thinking and what they're banking on for the future. So we good Americans, we're seeing decisions being made. And I don't know about you, but I look at these decisions every day and say, what planet are these guys on? This is not the planet I grew up on.
Because they are erasing the country. You see, a lot of Christians don't know how to interpret spiritual dreams. And so because they're carnal, and they don't have spiritual depth, they think, well, I haven't seen anybody appear on a big screen in downtown Dallas and say these things. Well, that's not how it's going to happen. That's how God gives it to us in a dream so that we can receive it and process it and understand it. But in real life, it will be played out in incremental stages. They are eliminating the history of the country. They are destroying us as we have existed. There's very little remaining of the old America. There's just threads right now.
Yes.
And the dollar, listen, don't buy into this thing about because the dollar is soaring in value right now. A couple of weeks ago, Jim Willie was on the program and he said, Rick, they're going to replace the dollar as it gets stronger because it's wrecking the economies of all the other nations. And I said, Jim, wait a minute. You're saying the dollar doesn't collapse? He goes, no, it doesn't collapse. They replace it. That's a totally different view. But see, the dollar would be gone.
And the dollar's failing. It's just not falling as fast as the others.
Yes.
So I always talk about the old Jack Bauer on 24, he may be fighting a good fight inside the plane, and it looks like he's winning, but the plane's still dropping at exponential speed. So he's winning the battle but losing the war, and that's the dollar. The dollar right now seems to be winning, but it's still falling.
You know what I see it as?
Yes.
I see the U.S. dollar right now like an incandescent light bulb, that it makes a last flash before it disappears. And that's what I've just been visualizing, that this is going into the flash stage right now just before it disappears. It just keeps climbing. It's up to 92, and just like, where's this thing going to stop? I think it's getting ready. It's getting in that flash stage right now.
The last time I was talking to Jim Willie, and I said, Jim, when will the U.S. financial system crash? And his response was 2008. He said it has already crashed, Rick. It's broken. It's done. It's finished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just being kept together on life support. But the crash was 2008. See, once again, a lot of Christians looking to a future event. Well, when I see that happen, then I'm going to make some serious plans to get ready for it. Folks, it's already happened.
Yes.
The system broke in 2008. You're living in la-la land right now. It's by God's mercy, His grace, that He's keeping us going. But that's coming to an end very fast. Now, you said a second dream. What was the second dream?
Well, I had two other parts to the first
okay.
one. The second part to the first dream, I was at a gas station with an Indian man, a man from India, who seemed to be running, owning, or managing this gas station convenience store. I know exactly where it was in Texas. We were standing in the parking lot. Cars were rushing in as people were heading west. And they had everything tied to their cars, and the family members were spooked inside the cars. They were all stopping to get gas. A man came in with his SUV full and a little trailer in the back full of tools and equipment and lawnmowers. They were all heading west. And he jumped out with his billfold, and he said, "I need a tank of gas." And he began to pull out money. And the Indian man said, "Stop, I don't take U.S. dollars." And he said, "Well, what do you take?" And the man said, "Well, what do you have?" And they began to go back to the trailer, and he was weeding through the trailer to choose something out of there in exchange for gas. And as I looked at the back of the station, there was a huge barbed wired fence full of equipment and tractors. And this man was building up a rental business in exchange for a consumable gas.
So what I hear out of that is that the convenience store representing the place of buying the necessities that we have to have, it would be run by foreigners, not Americans, and the Americans will not be able to buy with their money anymore because the foreigners now in control of the stores and the supplies will not take the money. So there will be a transfer of wealth as they will take their physical assets. We don't want your money. Give us your physical assets. We'll give you some necessities. So you're going to sell your birthright for a bowl of porridge.
That's correct.
Right?
That's correct. And the position we do not want to be in, but most people are in, what I learned from this was that most people are going to trade their true possessions for consumables.
Yes.
And when you're in that position, you're in debt and you're in poverty. You're in the spirit of poverty. If you have to trade your true valuables for a consumable, tomorrow you'll be out of gas and they'll have your lawnmower.
That's right.
The
next stage after that is total slavery.
That's it.
Because the only thing you have left to trade is your life.
Yes.
So now you become a slave, an indentured servant, in order to get food.
That's right. So what a story this is and how it relates to what's coming.
All right. Quickly, what's the second dream?
Okay. The second dream, this was when President Obama was president, when he was coming into his presidency. We were deep, deep underwater. I'm an open water diver, which means I keep clear water above my head so I can get up if there's there's trouble. President Obama and his team were swimming into a deep water cave. I had the sense about me. We were so deep, we needed to get up. We didn't have a lot of oxygen, not a lot of time to get up. But he went into a deep water cave instead of going up. So I went in with them, and I'm monitoring, I'm watching. He had advisors around him, all of their full face masks, so they could talk to one another. They had flashlights. And he was trying to make a decision which deep hole to go into. There were multiple choices in this cave. One was a heavy sediment-filled cave, very dark. Another hole was very dark but clear water. And he was making a decision. He finally made a decision. He said, "We're going into this one." It was clear, deep, dark. Clearly, there was no light at the end of that tunnel. When he made that decision, and the advisors were writing down on their clipboards underwater, when he said that, the voice of God spoke to me. I've never heard this voice before, but he spoke so loudly. He said, "Get away from him now. Get away from him now," in this powerful statement, like, "I'm not asking." And right after he said that, a huge earthquake hit, and these massive boulders came down and closed off the mouth of the cave. And all of us turned and looked, and I realized that I was going to die in that cave, that I was not going to make it out alive. There's no way to move these boulders. There was no equipment coming. With the amount of air that we had, we were stuck inside of this cave way down deep underwater.
So the entrance was sealed.
Entrance was sealed. The only way through, I suppose, would be into that deep, dark tunnel. And I just had this sense. I knew I was going to die. And I woke up in this sweat, gasping for air out of my bed, trying to figure out, okay, where am I? Am I?
What do you think is the meaning of the dream? Obama's going to lead us into a deep hole in which there is no way out?
First of all, I've always been told that a president in a dream makes it very important. A president in a dream also represents we, the people, not just a man.
Mm-hmm.
However, we either have a dictatorship takeover that doesn't represent we, the people, or we are all responsible for what's going on. We, the people, mm-hmm. have brought this in on ourselves. I don't know which that is, but I do believe there's going to be a decision made that no other president has ever made in history. And when that decision is made, that will signal a response. And because it was an earthquake, I believe that will be a godly response.
Mm-hmm.
And
but the way out will be closed.
There will be no way
out. The people that follow him will be trapped in utter darkness. And the exit totally sealed by boulders. Okay, I want to move on. Eric Enns is sitting here. I've been talking to Eric over the last 4 or 5 months. He's a True News listener. He was living in Montana, and we've had some telephone conversations and some corresponded by email. Eric was a U.S. Marine, and then you were employed, what, in the home construction industry?
Yes.
Okay. You just recently, you and your wife and children just moved to Boquete, Panama. You're still, I guess, in the unpacking stage. You've only been here a very short time, right?
That's right.
Okay. The Lord gave you recently a prophetic dream, right?
Yes.
So is it your first one?
Well, it's the first one of this kind. The Lord warned me back in 1998 also about what was going to happen to America.
Oh, I forgot about that. Tell that. Give us the condensed version.
Okay.
You got to hear this. This is 1998.
Yes.
This is the same year the Lord gave me my vision that America was going to burn.
Right. And, you know, I was on my way to work. I was listening to a radio broadcast that I listened to in the morning. And the person on there said, this is the most important interview I've ever done. If you've ever listened to any of my programs, you need to listen to this one. So that caught my attention very quickly. He says, there's a man who's been called to be a prophet to the nations. He's prophesied to nations, to kingdoms, to governments. And now for the first time, he has a message for America. And the message is, unless America repents, America will be destroyed. And on my way to work, that really caught my attention. I'd never heard anything like that before. And but I had to get out of my car. I had to turn off the key because I had an appointment I had to get to, and I didn't get to hear the whole message. And I went to my appointment that afternoon. I needed to go run some errands. So I get in my car again, and I turn the key on, and it was as if someone had pushed pause on the message and then pushed play again because it continued where I left off exactly. So I listened to the rest of the message, and he basically named cities that would be destroyed by nuclear weapons, areas that would be completely devastated in the United States, and God was calling America to repentance. And so the warning did not stop at that moment, basically the message that God was giving me. I went to get my oil changed in my car because I was going on a trip. And so I went there on my lunch and got my oil change, and they give you a newspaper usually when you're waiting for them to change your oil. They gave me a USA Today newspaper, and I looked at the front page, and I turned to the inside of the front page, and I saw a big atomic nuclear mushroom cloud, and the title to the article said America Will Burn. And that caught my attention because I just heard this message that morning. And I read it. It was a paid advertisement from a man by the name of Dimitri Dudeman. And it was his testimony. And basically the message was God called in the United States from the former Soviet Union, to give the message of repentance, that America needs to repent. And if we do not repent, America would be attacked by Russia and America would burn. And
he called us in the '90s, even in the '80s, he kept saying, America is Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
And even when God called me into this ministry in 98, I thought those words were harsh. I couldn't say America is Sodom and Gomorrah because I was still clinging to my patriotic hope that America would repent. The church would awaken, cry out, and God would heal the land. And Dimitri Dudeman was saying, America is Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, where are we now, 2015? America is Sodom and Gomorrah. Right. So you're sitting there in the getting your oil change, and there in the USA Today newspaper is this full-page paid advertisement from the ministry of Dimitri Dudeman with the mushroom cloud saying America will burn.
Right, and he basically said the same message I had just heard on a radio interview that morning. I went back to work. I was pretty shaken up at that time, and I got off of work that day. I got in my car. I turned the key on, and the message played again from start to finish, the interview that I had heard when I turned the key back on again. So the Lord really—
You heard the same program three times.
Yes, yes.
And a full-page newspaper.
On the same day.
So that was 1998. What did you do with that message spiritually? What did you— did?
Well, I started seeking the Lord about it, and he began to show me other prophetic words that had been given. David Wilkerson, in his book, The Vision, he started showing me— I came to know Henry Gruber, mm-hmm. and the visions he's been given, and many other people. And then the Lord, I've had other encounters with the Lord where where I was walking through the woods one day, and I happened to come across a homeless camp, and that I didn't know was in the woods, and no one was there. But the Lord spoke to me one day, and he said, "This will be America." And I knew exactly what he meant. I walked out of there and went to the side of the road, and there was a man standing there asking for money. He was a homeless man. And my understanding was, when I saw him, that this man used to have a family, he used to have a job, he used to have a bank account, a home. He had everything, and now he has nothing. And the Lord spoke to me again. He said, "This will be America." So that was another warning the Lord gave me.
And okay, so let's fast forward to 2015. This recent dream that you had, was at the end of 2014?
Yes, it was actually December 21st, 2014.
All right, and what did you see?
In my dream, I was out over the ocean, and I was looking at my watch. And I was counting down on my watch in my dream. I knew something was going to happen, and I knew exactly when. And I saw my second hand counting down for this event. And when it reached zero, when my second hand counted down, I saw a nuclear missile come out of a submerged submarine out of the ocean. And immediately in my dream, my understanding is that the intended target was America. And then the other understanding I had was that North Korea was behind what I was watching. And then I immediately saw, I don't know if it was one or multiple land-based nuclear missiles being launched. And then at the end of my dream, I saw a date. And the date that I saw in my dream, is December 3rd, 2015. And I immediately woke up out of my dream, and I knew the dream was from the Lord, but I asked the Lord to confirm the dream. I asked him to give me another dream that night regarding the dream I just had, and I asked him to give me a scripture to confirm that. And I fell asleep again, and the Lord gave me another dream. And the second dream I had was that the Lord had brought two men to me, and it was a divine appointment. We all understood that God had divinely brought us together for a specific purpose, and the purpose was for me to warn of this dream. And I warned the men of what I had just dreamt in my first dream. And then basically the second thing that...
And I'll just say, there's a little bit of construction going on next door to us. So if you hear some sound effects, it's just some renovation going on next door. It's okay. So what happened?
So then I woke up that morning, and then I asked the Lord to give me a scripture to confirm this, if this was from him. And he gave me Micah chapter 5, verses 10 through 15. And it says, "And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that I will cut off your horses from your midst and destroy your chariots. I will cut off the cities of your land and throw down all your strongholds. I will cut off sorceries from your hand, and you shall have no soothsayers. Your carved images I will also cut off, and your sacred pillars from your midst. You shall no more worship the work of your hands. I will pluck your wooden images from your midst. I will destroy your cities, and I will execute vengeance and anger and fury on the nations that have not heard." And another translation, obeyed. So I knew then that the Lord had, that this was from the Lord. And then the Lord confirmed it in another way. And I'll let Andrew share a moment real quick.
Yes, and I just want to point out, I mean, today's Friday, January 9, 2015. And if you go to truenews.com, here's one of the articles I posted last night. North Korea shows progress in missile-launching submarine. Is that creepy?
That's creepy.
So, what was the confirmation?
Well, I'll just say this. I didn't even know that Korea was even capable of doing this. And so I did some research that morning and found out that North Korea had purchased a diesel nuclear submarine from the former Soviet Union, and they've retrofitted it. It's operational. Mm-hmm. And the articles I read said that, you know, they would be nuclear capable to launch a nuclear missile from the submerged submarine within months, less than a year. And that was the date of the article was a couple months ago that I read.
And in a dream, you saw the date December 3rd, 2015.
Yes, that's correct.
Now, see, this lines up with a lot of the dreams of members of my family have experienced in recent years, in which there was fire, consuming fire, but there were signs of the fall and or Christmas holiday events. So our family has always operated under the belief that the Lord is revealing to us that this destruction is coming in the fall of the year. That's why I get a little uneasy and antsy every fall, because I know we're getting very, very close. Okay, one more. Your son, tell us.
Right. Well, okay. I called Andrew, my friend, to let him know what happened, and then my son also had a dream, and I'll actually let Stephen share what happened on that.
Right. Well, what's really interesting is that his little boy came out to the front porch where Eric wanted to. Actually, let me start before that. I was sitting after church. There's a young lady that's staying with us right now, another friend of ours from the States. And we were sitting at the dinner table or late lunch after church. And she just looked over at me out of the blue. And she said to me, she said, "Do you really believe all this stuff is going to happen to the United States or to America? And when do you think it's going to happen?" And at that very moment, my phone rang. And I reached for my phone. I just said, kindly just said, "Excuse me for just a moment." I grabbed my phone. It was Eric on the phone. And Eric said, I had a dream this morning, and it's really something heavy on my heart, and I'd like to talk to you about it. Do you have some time? You can come by, and I can discuss this with you." I said, "Sure, yeah, I'll be leaving here in just a few moments. I'll come by the house." So it's very interesting that she asked me that very question as the phone rang, as Eric wanted to tell me about this dream. So we went out on the I got there, and he went out on the front porch, and one of his little children followed behind us, and he wanted to talk about this dream. Well, this little boy said, "Well, Daddy, I had a dream too." And Eric was kind of going, that's nice. You know, it's about explain this dream, and, you know, but Eric wanted to share me his dream. Well, Eric in the midst was talking to me, was cooking dinner too, and he had to go check the rice. So when he stepped out, his little boy, I said, "Tell me about your dream." And he began to describe this dream about this special watch that he had. It's almost like a compass watch that could actually tell a direction, like you had to line it up with the sun with the 12. And so as he's looking at, there's three dots that were on this, highlighted on this watch. One was at 12, one was at 3, and the other one was at 10. And he looked back down, and it began to flash green, and then the red began to flash on the 10. And something happened that was traumatic once that 10 began to flash red. And I thought to myself after this, he explained this to me, I thought, is there another confirmation of the 12 and the 3 that were highlighted on the watch that December 3rd was highlighted in the 12 and the 3 and the 10. So I just thought there was maybe, he said, give me another dream. It didn't mean give me another dream, but the other dream could have been from his child as well. So I think there's multiple confirmations that the Lord's trying to show you that, that there's something very significant. It wasn't just a strange dream. There's something very significant to what he was trying to show you here.
All right. I want to bring David Williams in. Last night at our dinner meeting was my first opportunity to meet David and his wife. And David was at the Christian Businessmen's meeting this morning. David, you were living in Washington State. You lived in Montana for a while. You told me today that your whole family is experiencing prophetic dreams. And you told me one particular dream by your son that he had at age 5.
That's right. And I would preface, I would blanket anything that would come out of my mouth with the blessing that that Paul offered, and that for the listeners, that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, would guard their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. I mean, it's important. You know, the Lord commands us to be holy as he is holy. And part of his holiness encompasses the fact that he's never anxious. He's never worried. Nothing ever takes him by surprise. When the Hebrew children were backed up against the Red Sea, he wasn't sweating. He wasn't wondering, gee, what's the outcome of this going to be? You know, and so the Lord tells us not to be anxious for anything. He says, you know, even concerning the end times, that such things must take place, but see to it that you're not alarmed, that you're not worried. And I think part of, you know, obeying that command is to take on the nature of our older brother, Christ, of our Father in heaven, who's never ill at ease. And so I would just, you know, encourage everyone that this is not about fear-mongering. In fact, our God is jealous for us, and part of his jealousy is for our fear. We're not to assign our fear to any other area or any other subject other than the fear of the Lord. But so I would just blanket anything that comes out of our mouths with that, to seek the Lord and in all of these things, and to be at peace and to follow his lead. But my wife and I, we were brought up in a very conservative evangelical tradition in the United States, and it was very cessationist. And back in 1992, the Lord began speaking to us in dreams and visions, and specifically about since 1992 about the destruction of America, and showing us the ways in which America manifests the spirit of Babylon in the earth today. Since 1992, yes. And what is most notable, you know, we question ourselves, but I see a purity when it comes from a young child, because they don't have the same inputs, the same biases or prejudices that we might have. Mm-hmm. And specifically, one of our sons, and this has been family wide. I don't know of any member of our family that has not had some form or fashion of warning through a dream mm-hmm. or a vision. Mm-hmm. But about 12 years ago, I had a 5-year-old son who we were living in the woods in a very remote spot of the U.S. And with no media input. And this child had an open vision that, again, was like a movie screen being dropped down in front of his face, and he could not turn it off, and it terrified him. And specifically what he saw, and this was 12 years ago, what he saw was he saw a dark-skinned man leading this nation as the president. And he saw the borders collapsing of this nation, and he saw that all those who were entrusted with guarding the borders of this nation were actually not doing that at all. They were there to allow the infiltration of an enemy into this nation for its destruction. And
5 years old.
5 years old, and he shared all of this with us, and he was crying, sobbing uncontrollably, wanted the vision to go away, ran up to his room, and had the very same vision again.
And I thought you told me he saw Muslims taking over the country.
That's correct. What he saw coming in through the broken down borders were Muslim people dressed in black.
Wow. At age 5, 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's like little Mia here in Ecuador last year having her first dream at age 4. Saying Jesus comes down with fire, everything burns up. And then she cried out my name and my wife's name and shouted out, as though she was telling us to get out. Age 4, a little jungle girl. in the Amazon, who had never spoken up until that day, and woke up from a dream, saying, "Jesus comes down with fire, everything burns up." Out. Folks, we're almost out of time for this program, but America's almost out of time to repent. I've done my job as a watchman. I can stand before God. I can say, I warned, I spoke, I pleaded, I begged, I cried, I did everything I could. The church in America is apostate. It's lukewarm. It's asleep at the wheel. It's not doing its job. The barbarians are not at the gate. The barbarians have entered the gate. The barbarians have now taken control of the country. The country is now being raided by an amalgamation of misfits, but many of them are violent. Many of them are coming for great harm. And the time is ticking away quickly. And I'm not going to say that it's too late. My feeling is it is. But that's a judgment call from God. I mean, mm-hmm. God sent Jonah to Nineveh and said, "Tell them I'm going to burn it in 40 days. I mean, as far as Jonah was concerned, that was a done deal. And he went in there and he preached with fire. And he said, "Folks, in 40 days, you're crispy critters. It's over." And the people repented. And we all know the story about Jonah, because then he got mad that the people repented and God forgave them, and he got mad about it. All right? See, God never tells the watchman what the end is going to be, because if the watchman knew, they would change the message. So I'm not going to change the message. The message God gave me for America is, if you do not repent and come back to him, he's going to allow foreign enemies to come in and destroy the nation and take the nation into slavery. That's the message he gave me to preach, and I'm not going to change it. I'm telling you, we're almost out of time as a nation. That's why so many people are leaving right now. Some of you, you're writing emails to me. Every time we have a program like this, you write emails to me, and you get angry, and you tell me all the excuses of why you can't leave. It doesn't hold up. You're telling me that your God is unable to deliver you. You're telling me that your God is unable to provide for you to escape Babylon. And see, that comment, that the statements you're making are rooted in sin. It's unbelief. I mean, we have children walking from Guatemala and Honduras up through Central America to get into Texas. You're telling me you can't walk from Texas to Honduras? If children can do it in reverse, come on. Stop making excuses. God, you've been listening to this program for a long, long time, yet you're not hearing it. You're not hearing it. You're listening, but you're not hearing. And I'm telling you as a watchman, the barbarians are already inside. The plans for the destruction of the nation are set, and I believe we are on a fast track for sudden destruction. You have to decide what you're going to do with that information. I'm not responsible for you. I'm only responsible to give you this message. I'm telling you that your God is able to deliver you from the fire. You have to decide if you're going to put your trust in him. I'll see you on Monday.